Scripture reading this morning is Exodus chapter 14, verses 10 through 22. When Pharaoh drew near, the people of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them, and they were in great fear. And the people of Israel cried out to the Lord, and they said to Moses, "Is it because there are no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? What have you done to us in bringing us out of Egypt? Is not this what we said to you in Egypt? Let us alone and let us serve the Egyptians, for it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness." And Moses said to them, "Fear not, stand firm, and see the salvation of the Lord, which is will work for you today. For the Egyptians who you see today, you shall never see again. The Lord will fight for you, and you will have only to be still." And the Lord said to Moses, "Why do you cry to me? Tell the people of Israel to go forward. Lift up your rod and stretch your hand over the sea and divide it. And the people of Israel may go on dry land throughout the sea. And I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians so they shall go in after them. And I will set glory over Pharaoh and all his hosts, his chariots and his horsemen. And Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I have gotten glory over Pharaoh, his chariots, and his horsemen." Then the angel of God who went before the host of Israel moved and went behind them. And a pillar of smoke, pillar of the clouds, moved before them and stood behind them, coming behind the host of Egypt and the host of Israel. And there was a cloud and darkness, and the night passed, without one coming near the other all night. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord drove the sea back by a strong east wind all night and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the people of Israel went to the midst of the sea on dry land, and the waters behind a wall to them on their right and then on their left. This ends the scripture reading.
Thanks, Lori. Have any of you ever watched a kid try to walk for the first time? Right? And just asking that question, some people are nodding in their heads, but some people just are grinning. It's kind of funny to watch you. You know, it's the, aww. You know, and it's really cute, right? And it's one of those moments where it's a really joyful experience because now the child is becoming, you know, less of an animal on all fours and more of a person, upright. And it's a great thing. And the kid enjoys it, and the parents enjoy it, up until the part where the kid starts running so fast that they can't keep up. And it's a good thing. It's a good thing, but it's also pretty awkward, right? It's awkward. It's usually a step or two, and then it's down on the diaper. And we're glad that that type is there because the kid's going to need some padding for a while. And this is a time where it ends with a thud. And so today we're talking about first steps. And the first steps of the Israelites in taking their freedom out of Egypt and maybe our first steps in what our freedom looks like from the things that would enslave us. And so we're going to do this. And in addition to first steps, we're also inaugurating a new clicker. So we'll see how well this one works. Okay. I got it backwards. See? Not even sure which end to use. And Joel and I actually talked about it yesterday. So there they were, right? On the beach. And Pharaoh's army is coming up behind them. They don't really have weapons. They're not even an army. If they were, they're just a bunch of escaped slaves. And here comes this army, and they're in trouble. And this is one of those moments where the people are in doubt. This first moment where, wait a second, Moses, did you take us out here just to die? And this isn't the last time they're going to ask him that question. Did you just take us out here to get slaughtered? Really? And there's this depression that sits in. And they cry out to God. They cry out to God. And the corresponding verse to the story that we could take from the New Testament, 2 Corinthians 5:7 is up there. It's a part of the verse. We walk by faith, not by sight. Because in this moment for the Israelites, everything that they saw was going against them. Everything that they could see was not going their way. They had this moment of victory in the last chapter, this moment of great victory where they were not only allowed to go, they were given gifts and told to get out. They were told, it's time for you to leave. And so they piled up as much as they could carry. They loaded up wagons and off they went. And it was a great thing. It was a victory. It was a celebration. It was amazing. And now they're in trouble. And now all they can see is this army bearing down on them. And what are they going to do? There isn't any help. And the people talk to Moses, and Moses talks to God. And what is going to happen? It's a really depressing time. It's one of those moments where maybe you felt that depression, where you have been in a situation in which you don't see a way out, that there's nothing that you can do. And all you can do is cry out to God. Question that I ask that goes along with this is, how much trouble do you have to be in order to pray? How much trouble do you have to be in order to pray? In order to ask for help with something, right? Because there's stuff that you and I do every single day that we don't ask for help with, let alone ask God's help with, right? There's stuff that we do every single day. We get out of bed, we brush our teeth, we get ready for work or school or wherever it is that we go. You know, we don't ask for God's help with any of that, right? You know, nobody has ever prayed the prayer, dear God, please help me pick up this toothbrush and get it going in the right direction. Right? We don't make prayers for the little stuff. Maybe we should sometimes, but how much trouble do we have to be in? How much of a challenge does it have to be in? So if we couldn't find our toothbrush, if suddenly it disappeared, would we pray for that? Or would that just be something that was annoying to us and we go to the store and we get another one? How much trouble do we have to be in? The Israelites were in danger of their lives and they cried out to God. And sometimes when we are in danger of our life, or maybe a loved one is in danger, sick or injured or in the hospital, maybe even in hospice, we cry out to God. Where is that point for us? Where is that point for you? And I would encourage you, as the Apostle Paul encourages us, to be in a state of constant prayer. And that doesn't mean always being next to your bed on your knees and hands folded and eyes closed. But what it means is to very, very routinely be talking to God about what is going on in your day. To be praying for people, to be praying for yourself and your own situations, to be thanking God for the amazing things that happen in your life, to be thanking God for the blessings that are poured out on you. I think that the more we say thank you, the more we realize we're blessed. What does it take for us to cry out to God? Because that's the beginning of this. That's the beginning of the first steps for the Israelites and the first steps for us in being released. What does it take for us to cry out to God? Now, there's something that's amazing in the scripture. I don't know if you've ever realized this about reading the Bible, but you can read the same story over and over again. I mean, I don't know the parting of the Red Sea, right? How many times have I heard that story going to church? How many times have I heard that story in Sunday school and youth group and throughout and just reading and reading it over and over again? And there was this great thing that I caught for the first time when I was reading through it this time. And that was that God, as the Egyptian army was coming up on them, God goes and creates a barrier between the Israelites and the approaching army. I didn't know that that had happened. See, in the movies, when you read or when you watch the movies about this, right? Has anybody ever seen a movie of this? Okay, right? The Prince of Egypt was an animated one, and there's this little thing with Charlton Heston that came out a while ago, I think, right? And it always involves slapping the water and immediately, right? But that's not how it worked. That's not how it worked. There was the water thing, but then it says God moves in between the army and the people, and there's this east wind that blows, and it separates. And we're going to talk about that in a sec, but when God moves in between the army of Egypt and the people of Israel, he creates this barrier, this fog where they can't be seen, and the army pulls up because they don't know what they're walking into. And it creates this time for the sea to part. God protects them. And God still protects us. God still protects us. You will not leave in haste or go in flight, for the Lord will go before you. The God of Israel will be your rear guard. That idea of a rear guard. God is before us and after us. And God was the people of Israel's rear guard. And it was this beautiful moment where God says, I see the threat and I will take care of it. I see the problem and I will take care of it. How often do we fully surrender our problems to God? And then there's that strong east wind that blows throughout the entire night. It takes an entire night of God protecting the people and this wind blowing. And then the people of Israel are able to take their first steps. Then the people of Israel are able to cross on dry land. God provides a way out. And God still provides a way out for us. Maybe you're experiencing marriage problems. God can provide a way out. Maybe you are addicted to a substance. God can provide a way out. Maybe you are depressed. God can provide a way out. Whatever it is that is holding you back, God can provide this way out. Now, it might literally be overnight. It might be instantaneous. It might take a season of your life in order for that to happen. But if we're willing to cry out to God, if we're willing to walk with God, that way out's going to be there. For you as an individual, for you as a family, for us as a church, for our community, that it's there. Now, first steps, sometimes those are awkward, right? Sometimes those are awkward. Sometimes we stumble. And as this story is going to continue, we're going to see the people of Israel stumble. They do. But they're still God's children. And that wind is still there. They're still protected. They're still provided for. Would you pray with me? God, we know that there are people in our lives, and frankly, there's us, that need you to deliver us. And as we read this story this morning, the story of deliverance, we give you thanks for their deliverance and for the deliverance that you offer to us. God, please Empower us to do your mission, to trust you. Make us a people of prayer so that we can cry out to you, experience your protection, and walk across our own seas on dry land. In your name we pray. Amen.